These gifts truly are just a small token of our appreciation to David and to Joan and to Carol, and really to each one of you, because each one of you is a vital part of this congregation and makes me proud to call myself your pastor. I trust you all picked up a communion cup on your way in, a candle and a bulletin. They're on the tables at the back of the sanctuary rather than in the entryway, as they usually are. And I'd like to personally welcome you to our Christmas Eve service. It has been quite a year. No doubt there are times when we wondered if we'd be here to celebrate Christmas together. Some dread the virus. I keep looking to the clouds and listening for trumpets. Our political leaders threatened that there would be no Christmas this year and no Thanksgiving. But here we are. Yes, they're blaming a recent uptick in cases on people visiting for Thanksgiving. But as the residents of one nursing home, I forget where, they're all experiencing the same circumstances. But I kind of agree with the people, the residents of that nursing home, who you might say went on strike. And they said if it's a choice between dying of the virus and suffering 9 months of loneliness, we'll take our chances with the virus. I say that not to minimize the threat. I say that only to say that everything we do comes with consequences. And we do our best to do what's right while controlling the consequences so that the cure is not worse than the disease. And here we are, somehow in the midst of despair and fear, faith manages to triumph. And that's the theme of this evening's service, the triumph of faith. But it isn't just faith that wins the victory. And really, you can't say that we are saved by faith. We are saved by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's what we have faith in, not our faith alone, that saves. Otherwise, we would just be talking about the power of positive thinking. It's believing in the one who intentionally left behind the perfection and glory of heaven to live in our world, a world where darkness fills our days more and more, where fear seems to lurk around every corner, and passing days are marked by sadness as dreams are shattered and friends are kept from us and loved ones die, where tyrants make rules that we simply were not designed to live under. And even our Constitution, which is supposed to protect our God-designed and given rights, seems only to protect those who do evil and punish those who try to live for that God. And this was true, unfortunately, even before COVID hit. Tonight we will remind ourselves how that baby whose birth we celebrate was none other than the Almighty God of the universe, our Maker, and soon to be revealed as our Savior, who brings light to the darkness, hope in the midst of fear, joy instead of sadness, the Prince of Peace and the King of Righteousness, who comes to depose all tyrants and to establish God's kingdom here on earth. So let's begin our celebration by standing and singing together the hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. Come and behold. Be seated. Let us begin our service with a brief prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, in spite of the sickness that has surrounded the world this year, a sickness which many of us have experienced personally, a sickness which has taken some of our loved ones, you have enabled us to gather here this evening. Father, I pray a special prayer for each person who is here tonight, that you would protect them from all sickness and harm, that this night would be looked back upon as a night of celebration and joy, as it should be, and not a night of sadness. We thank you that in the midst of the dangers of this life, you give us hope, a hope that never dies. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The world was in darkness when Jesus was born. That's not to say he was born this night, December 24th, some long years ago. It's not to say that he was born during the nighttime, whatever day he was born. Because I'm not talking of the darkness of nighttime or the darkness of winter. No, it was sin that caused this darkness. Rebellion against God by our first parents plunged the world into a perpetual darkness by blinding us to the glory of God, as well as his glory as it was meant to be reflected in our lives and in the life that flows through creation. Oh, the light still shone, but we were blinded to it, and we could only catch glimpses of it. I remember my mother in the last years of her life. She was a victim of macular degeneration and gradually could make out no details at all, could only see shadows of light and darkness. It seems we have that disease of the soul, as we can make out sources of light and glory, but even at that we are often led astray. We managed somehow to tame creation and make it serve our desires and our wishes, but we ourselves were doomed to live in the darkness that we ourselves had brought about, stumbling in the dark and leading one another to stumble with us. What would become of this world whose light had been dimmed? Who could reach us in our darkness and restore that light? Only the one who first brought light out of darkness on that first day of creation. Only the one who, with the Father and the Spirit, made us in the first place. Only he could restore us to the glory we were meant to share, as we hear read by Megan in our first lesson this evening.
The people walking in darkness see a bright light. Light shines on those who live in a land of deep darkness. Arise, shine, for your light arrives. The splendor of the Lord shines on you. For look, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness covers the nations. But the Lord shines on you. His splendor appears over you. For a child has been born to us, a son has been given to us, and his name is called Amazing Advisor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Then Jesus spoke out again, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light is with you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. I have come as a light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness.
If there is any Christmas song that contrasts the darkness of this world to the gift that God gave us that first Christmas, it's our next hymn. It so clearly expresses to us what that darkness was that Jesus entered into, and how his light gives us light. So let's sing together the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. You may rise if you wish. I'm glad I'm standing because I can't sing sitting down. I was going to say you may be seated, but I see you already are. Yes, Bethlehem, in thy dark street shone that everlasting light. And by offering himself as the sacrifice that would cast out our sins so his spirit could enter into us, Jesus restores to us the light of God's truth and glory. Now we could see it, but would we embrace it? The hopes and fears of all the years were met in Bethlehem that night. Hope that we might be saved. Fear that though given such a precious gift, we, like our first parents, might reject it. In our lives, many other fears have come. We seem to live in a world of fears, of reasons to be afraid. Will we catch the virus? Dare I visit my loved ones? What will become of our nation as we continually choose evil over good and wink at evils our forefathers died to save us from? What if we get sick? What if we are stricken with poverty, as so many have been this year? What if, after all he has done for us, after all that we have rejected, what if God finally says enough and turns away from us for good? Back on that first Christmas night, there were outside the town of Bethlehem shepherds who understood the reason for our darkness. The sheep they tended would one day be offered as sacrifices in the temple in nearby Jerusalem. Sacrifices that themselves could do nothing to save us, but that whispered of a sacrifice to come, where God would offer himself as the perfect sacrifice to take away our sin and cure us of its effects. So it was to them that the hope was first revealed on that first Christmas night, as we hear told to us by Matthew in our second reading.
Now there were shepherds nearby living out in the field, keeping guard over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a vast heavenly army appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased." When the angels left them and went back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, and that the Lord has made known to us." So they hurried off and located Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in a manger. When they saw him, they related what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were astonished at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured all these words, pondering in her heart what they might mean. So the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen, everything was just as they had been told.
The medicine that calms our fears is hope. It was hope that the angels offered those shepherds. It was hope that entered into a world of fear. The hope that God would not forget his promise. The hope that God would not give up on his people. Even today, the Jewish people sing a traditional song entitled "Ki lo yitosh," meaning, "He will not abandon." It's a hope that somehow justice that demands separation from God because of our sin could be tempered by mercy, that our spiritual vision might be restored, that the life of God might once again be made available to us. But coupled with this hope was a fear even greater than the fear we are living in today. What if this hope would come, and we, like our first parents, would choose the empty hopes offered by Satan, by the world, and by our own desires? And either by outright refusal or simply by distraction, would reject that hope and finally and completely surrender ourselves to eternal fear. What an awesome gift of love came to us that night in Bethlehem. What an indescribable gift it was, as Paul calls it. And yet at the same time, what a solemn choice we are faced with. Just who is this child in the manger? on whom the hopes and fears of all the world were met that night in the empty streets of Bethlehem. Let us stand then and sing the answer to that question with the hymn, "What Child Is This?" Yes, good Christian, fear, for in this child rests the only hope strong enough and real enough to meet and heal our fatal need. The world offers many sources of hope, and many people, things, and ideas that claim to offer freedom from fear. Our fear often leads us to embrace these false hopes, and too often and too soon, the very thing that promised hope creates fears of its own, and we are left feeling sad and defeated. Sooner or later, usually sooner, the world's false hopes, the temptings of Satan and our own elusive desires disappear like the morning mist, and in their wake fear is replaced only by the sadness of having embraced a handful of mist, an empty dream, a false hope. Yet there was a man who deliberately embraced both our fear and our sadness. We are told that though in heaven he was fully loved by the Father and shared in his glory and dominion, he set all that aside to be born in a manger, fully human, subject to our suffering and pain, despised and rejected by men, we are told, a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we ourselves despised him. Still he came. Still he loved us. And he loves us still with a love that will never die. And again, and again, and again, he offers that love to us, that our sadness might be swallowed up by joy. So help me to declare that joy by reading responsively the next selection from Romans chapter 8, as it is found in your bulletin. What then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Why then would he not, along with him, also give us all things? Who can bring a charge against God's elect? God himself has justified us. Who then can condemn us? Jesus Christ himself has died, and even more is also risen. He is right now sitting at God's right hand, and there he intercedes on our behalf. And who can separate us from the love of Christ? Difficulties can't make him love us less. When we are in distress, he still cares for us. In persecution, he is our hope. Even in the midst of hunger or plague, or danger or war, even then his hand protects us, his right hand guides us. In the midst of all these things, we are more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, it's all about joy. A joy born in the mind of God before the world was created. A joy he chose you to embrace before he ever spoke the words, "Let there be light." A joy our Christmas hymns try their best to describe in words that somehow do manage in their vision of that baby in the manger to give us a glimpse of what the man would become, what his teachings would make known to us, what his miracles would illustrate for us, what his death would achieve for us, what his resurrection affirms for us, and even to whisper of a greater light, a greater hope, a greater joy to come when he takes the throne that God the Father prepared for him. So let's rise and sing about that joy with the hymn, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear."
Bending near the earth to touch their which now the angels sing.
Glad you guys know what we're doing this evening. I was so anxious to get to the end where he comes back as king. I forgot the most important verse for this evening. Ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. Yes, there is coming a day when in joy or fear, both those who accept the gift of this child and those who reject it will hail him as the Prince of Peace, whose name is above every name, whose glory is equal only to the glory of God the Father himself. Because he and the Father and the Spirit are one God forever. A Prince of Peace, a King of Righteousness, who treats his subjects with respect and love, who serves them by giving of himself. Would that our earthly rulers were so minded. But the power and prestige of authority is a heady brew, and most of us humans who partake of it let go of serving and instead express our authority through tyranny. We see that tyranny in our own day, as leaders act as though they have the power of life and death and make demands of us that they themselves don't even bother to keep. As if by their very demanding it, they could change the course of nature itself and the nature God created in us, a nature that needs honest labor, thrives in open and free society, and regards death itself as less threatening than a life of isolation and fear. The days surrounding Jesus' birth also knew tyranny, through a Roman rule that the Bible describes as fearsome, unyielding as iron, unyielding and unresponsive to the human heart, as all tyrants are. Yet it was into this world of power-hungry leaders and downtrodden people that the Prince of Peace came, to defeat not just the Roman Empire, but every rule and authority that usurps the authority of God. He came to bring peace to a world of people at war with themselves, to bring a reign of righteousness to those who have known only the tyranny of sin, to bring justice to a world where the strong and egotistical thrive at the expense of the good and the humble. When that Prince of Peace came, though he was only a tiny baby, those in power recognized the threat and tried to snuff it out, just as they do in our day. But though he was just a baby born in a town away from the bustle of Rome or Jerusalem, that baby grew to be a man who would, in a day that draws ever nearer, topple empires and establish himself not only as King of the Jews, the title he assumed on the cross, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the title he has borne since before creation. So let us listen as Jim now tells us how this king was greeted by the world's leaders, and how God made certain that no power could keep his king from coming.
A year or so after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the one who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." But when King Herod heard this, he was filled with fear and alarm. After assembling all the chief priests and experts in the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. The prophet Micah wrote that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. Then Herod privately summoned the wise men and determined from them when the star had appeared, and sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and look carefully for the child. When you find him, inform me so that I can go and worship him as well." When they left Herod, once again the star they saw when it was rose led them until it stopped above the place where the child was. As they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasure boxes and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, so they returned home by another route. Then an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. And stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to look for the child to kill him." They left that night for Egypt and stayed there until Herod died.
Yes, Herod tried to destroy this child before he was even 2 years old. Yet behind Herod was another who had been trying for thousands of years to keep God from fulfilling his promise that one day the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, would crush his own head, and so undo the damage done by the fall, the tragic mistake of Adam and Eve. Yet every time Satan struck at God's plans, God outsmarted him. So confident was Simeon that God would protect this Jesus, and that this Jesus would fulfill his destiny as Prince of Peace, that even more than a year before Herod tried to destroy him by killing the infants and young toddlers in Bethlehem, upon seeing the baby brought to the temple by his mother and father, Simeon remarked, "Now, Lord, now I can die in peace, for I have seen the one who will bring salvation to his people." The king had come, and those who had the light could see what his coming would bring. So let you and me rise and sing together of this king with the hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Please be seated. There is another gift that God has given us. In the midst of our loneliness, He offers His very presence. As we worship in His name and as we share in that meal that He left us as a memorial of these very truths. To make sure we're ready to sit at the table Jesus has invited us to, let us confess our sins using the prayer of confession that's printed in the bulletin. Most merciful God, we confess that we cannot free ourselves from the sin that entangles us. We have sinned against You by thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways, to the glory of Your holy name. Amen. Of course, true repentance is more than a prayer uttered during worship on a Sunday morning. It's the dedication of a heart devoted to living in fellowship with God. If that's the spirit in which you made this confession, then hear the word that God has for you. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. For His sake and in keeping with His promise, God forgives the sins of those who confess. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, He gives the power to become children of God. He bestows on them His Holy Spirit. Let us then declare this faith in Jesus using the words of the Apostles' Creed as printed in the bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the night in which He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Again after supper, He took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again." Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Please remove the clear covering from the top of the wafer and hear these words first spoken by Jesus, "The body of Christ given for you." Now let us open the cup and cherish these words that have been given to us, "The blood of Christ shed for you." Please rise. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood strengthen you and keep you in His grace. Amen. Almighty God, You gave Your Son as both a sacrifice for sin and as a model of the godly life. Enable us to delight in his presence within us through your Spirit. And through that same Spirit, help us to live lives worthy of the gospel. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Please remain standing then so that we can begin to light our candles. I'd like to ask the candle lighters to come forward. And I'd like to remind you, as the candle lighters come to your pew, please always hold the unlit candle at an angle to receive the light from the upright lit candle. As they come to the end of each pew, and light the candle at the end, and we ask that each person share that light with whoever else may be in that pew with you. Just as Jesus, by his birth, brought light into the darkness of this world, so we commemorate his gift of light with the lighting of our candles. It's not simply our light as human beings that we share with one another. It is the light of Christ that he has brought into our hearts. As this light comes to you, hear the words of the evangelist John as he describes the birth of Christ in this way. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has no comprehension of it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him. Yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Let us sing together the hymn, Silent Light.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, every year on this December night, people around the world take time out of their busy holiday plans to contemplate the reason we celebrate. On this night, when so many people who would have loved to be with us this evening were forced to stay away because of the need to protect themselves from the virus, they are with us nevertheless in spirit. And as we worship you, they are worshiping you as well. On this night, we honor the birth of a child named Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. Into the darkness of sin, into the fear of condemnation, into the sadness of broken dreams and our own failure to love you with our whole hearts, into the violence of tyranny, the Prince of Peace brings joy, hope, and the light of your truth. Help us to let this light shine brightly in our hearts, hiding nothing from its revealing light. Help us to offer him our fear and sadness, and to surrender to him the tyranny of our own selfish desires and foolish wisdom, that he may become our source of life and peace. For peace cannot come to the world until it first has stilled the war within our hearts and made for him a people of peace. Thank you for the promise that Jesus the Christ is and the hope that he brings to us all. In his precious name we pray. Amen. And now as we extinguish our candles and turn up the lights, let us announce the light that came into the world and the hope it brings by singing together, "Joy to the World."
Nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and
masterfully on the keyboard and adding so much to our worship experience. To Matthew and Megan for lighting the candles as they went down the aisles this evening. For Matthew and Shelby as they lit the candles that line the pews and the Advent calendar and the Advent wreath. And to Matthew, Megan, and Jim, as they added so much to our service this evening by reading the lesson. And a special thank you to each one of you for coming out. May God protect you. May God watch over you. May God give you peace. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.